Previously on Fantastic Worlds Podcast.
Okay, so after hearing her, like, ask to be freed, Odessa's basically going to assume that means, like, destroy the doll. So she's going to take another shot at her with another alchemical cartridge.
The doll explodes, and then to the ground drops the blue sapphire. What you know this item to be is a soul focus. Thora's soul is bound within the doll's gemstone eye.
Yeah, she's gonna smash it.
I think Odessa would want to, like, keep the, like, shards.
Abraxas, you begin to smell a familiar smell.
You mean he smells a giant weasel?
I think you guys realize just from the map that, you know, your journey, at least in this area, is coming to an end.
Hey, world's travelers, it's Abby. Whenever I do these intros, I always think of those really old-timey videos where, like, it plays the classical music and you zoom in on this person who's probably in this big red leather armchair before the fire. I probably should have started it off as like, oh, hey, didn't see you there. Welcome. Let's talk about, well, ultimately I'm going to talk about multiclassing, but first I have a bit of housekeeping. So we are launching a little social media contest. We're going to be selecting one person who helps promote our podcast on Instagram or Twitter. So if you, it's going to be a t-shirt. It'll probably have our logo on it. What's on the t-shirt is super negotiable. So if you want something else, do let us know. But basically how it works, you must follow us on Instagram or Twitter and use the hashtag WorldsTraveler. Anyway, that's it for housekeeping. Beyond that, I kind of just wanted to talk a little bit about why I decided to multiclass Pippa. So a couple, you know, weeks ago, you may have noticed she kind of caught on to some super spesh sorcerer powers. And I decided to do that for a couple reasons. One of them is, you might have noticed that we also were somewhat lacking in a mainly caster sort of character. You know, Angel does some with his druid stuff, and now we've got Manette, and she also has some casting abilities. But, you know, we were kind of lacking in sort of the, like, I can throw fireballs department. So I graciously decided to step in there because I'm wonderful. But ultimately, I think the biggest reason why I wanted to do it was it sounded really fun. I know there's a lot of problems with multiclassing, just mechanics-wise. You know, Pippa's probably, I don't know, going to be a little weaker than the rest of her party going forward. But that was no reason for me not to do it. Like, my biggest thing with playing Pathfinder is that this is supposed to be fun. If there's something that sounds fun to you, my vote is always do it. You know, Pippa might die. She might. I would be really sad, but I have an excellent backup character and I wanted to try doing a rogue sorcerer combination and, you know, kind of see where that got me. So we're going to see where it goes. But I'm really excited about the new things that I can bring to the table with these new sorcerer abilities. I've got some super cool new feats. I've got some super fun new spells. I know that the one that I tried last episode was kind of a bust, but I have other stuff that I'm going to give a try, and I'm really excited to see where this takes us. If you've multiclassed Rogue Sorcerer, by the way, please hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on our Facebook page, tell me all about it, tell me how you handled it, tell me where some pitfalls were. If you have any suggestions for how to multiclass or better, let me know about them. Anyway, without further ado, I introduce to you episode 13, and Angel and I will do our best not to snigger when we hear this title, but it's Much Ado About Knotting.
So happy Halloween, everybody, or I guess day before Halloween. How is everybody doing today?
Feeling spooktastic.
Everybody feeling spooky?
Feeling spooktastic.
Yeah. I was looking up some song lyrics. I was like, oh, that's right.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're episode 13 on the day before Halloween. That's just like, I think that means you're all going to die. I think that's what that means. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm feeling in my heart.
You're such a cliche sometimes.
I'm a cliche?
Yes. You're the DM that's like, I'm going to kill you all. And we're like, oh, no.
Oh, see, I didn't even hear it because he says that so often. It just becomes background. Like,
hey, it's just it's like, soothing static.
Uh-huh. Dustin, I think it behooves you to keep us all alive because all of our new characters are going to constantly be railing at God and screaming at, like, you as God. We're going to just be like, fuck you, God, and do things to fuck you over.
We'll send you when we die, we're going to mail you our character sheets, but, like, we'll mail them with poo.
Anyway, so pumpkins.
What does everybody have planned to be for Halloween? Or what are they thinking about?
So it's always kind of a toss-up for me. It's like, I have all of the makings to be Sailor Neptune from Sailor Moon. Ooh. I have all of the makings to be Pinkie Pie from My Little Pony. And I have all of the makings to be Cheryl from Riverdale. And I have a bunch of friends who are putting together, like, a group costume. So I might do that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
I have one costume. It's Dr. Horrible. And
it's a great costume.
It's a great costume. But I have a hard time finding costumes that, you know, fit me, a guy of my size well. So usually I find one costume and get it made and it lasts me about 5 years. And then I'll switch to another costume that will last me about 5 years. So 1 year it was a robot and it was a big fox wrapped in foil and that was it. And then now we're Dr. Horrible. So yeah. Although I don't think Dr. Horrible is pretty old at this point. So yeah.
I'm being a necromorph.
A necromorph.
So that's about it. Yep, necromorph.
Is that like a necrotic animorph?
You know, that's actually not a bad idea. No, but you know the game Dead Space?
Oh, uh-huh.
There's some freaky-ass monsters in there. I'm doing sort of my twist on that. I'm going to have this big, horrible, detached jaw thing that I'm making out of tinfoil and latex and a bunch of other shit. So. Wow.
You know, Starfinder has a necrotic race that's a race of all dead people, and it's an actual playable race, and I think they're, like, called the Necra something. But, yeah, like...
Of course they are.
But they're, like, their entire, like, yeah. Spaceships are necrocrafts, and, like, it's, like, an entire dead society.
Necrocrafts.
So.
Welcome to my necrocraft. I need a necro nap. That's what it sounds like.
It's like the Smurf.
Yes, it's Smurf everything.
Just replace every other word with necro.
Or begin it with necro.
Raise the necro shields.
Oh my
Abby,
God.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, it's changing the topic. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with my favorite thing to do. It only works in groups. I'm hoping to get a couple of friends to do it with me. I get a plain mask, and then I dress in business formal, and I get a suitcase, and I just kind of wander around and stare at people.
That's very upsetting. That's I was so hoping you were going to say necro. I was really hoping after all that lead up, you were going to say necro something, but that was even more, that was like...
Do you have, like, candy in the briefcase? Or, like...
I don't... I mean...
She has knives, yes, obviously.
But I want people to think that I've got instruments of torture in it, okay. And I'm trying to size up who to drag back to my torture cave.
You know what would be even better is if you had a hook, and the hook was what carried around the briefcase?
Yeah, or something, like, vibrating the case so it looks like it's a person inside.
That'd be good. I mean, honestly... The effect is better. It's best if you're in a group of similarly dressed and masked people. Mm-hmm. It gets extra creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need any special effects. All you need is a cheap plastic white mask and whatever you wear to work.
So that being said, have I done a great job at kind of creepifying you guys out this month?
We didn't ask Angel what he was going
to
be.
Yeah, I was about to say. What
Dustin
the hell?
Dustin always forgets about me. Yeah, all the time. All the time.
You have to shriek more.
I should. You know what? Every year I try to do like old school ghosts with just the sheet with the holes cut out. But I am really lazy. And of course, because picking the costume is also lazy. So lazy that I just never get around to getting a generic white sheet. Just the holiday always sneaks up on me. I know it's going to be in the mail. I'll be so excited. I'm like, finally a white sheet I could cut eye holes in and be a ghost. Yeah, that's my go-to. It hasn't happened yet, but that's
my
what
friend
I want.
Heather wanted me one year to dress as Kool-Aid Man, and so she got me a giant red sheet, and she cut out the all the pieces and stuff like that. It was very nice of her. I appreciated that. It made me feel very special that she did that for me. But yes, for her, because her birthday always, she always has Halloween parties for her birthday party, because it's her birthday's right around Halloween. She guest starred as one of the zombies a few episodes back, if you guys are interested. And so that was a fun costume, because some other friends of hers dressed as Tetris blocks. So there's a scene of all the Tetris blocks together and me breaking through them as Kool-Aid Man. And I thought that was a great picture. In fact,
that's awesome.
In fact, I think that picture is in...
is it on the webpage?
It's on the webpage.
Fantastic World's page? Okay. I'm like, I thought you had like a Kool-Aid shirt.
No, it was a red, like a burgundy shirt, sheet. So it was like kind of a ghost only Kool-Aid Man.
The ghost of Kool-Aid Man. That's the new costume.
There was definitely a lot of oh yeahs going on. Right? Kind of like my Macho Man.
Wow.
I forgot that you went Macho Man on that one episode. I was drinking something. I almost got crap all over my keyboard.
I've been practicing that voice, so he will come out at some point for you guys, because I did promise that I would do that at some point. So.
Yeah, man. It's all I look forward to in life is... Macho Man.
Much like our surprise endings have happened, I gotta find a way to jump it onto you when you least expect it.
Those endings have literally been nightmare fuel.
I'm turning red again just thinking about it.
That's actually true. I can see.
I know. We're just talking about it.
So when I last left you guys, the area you see in front of you is definitely ground zero. It was still warm and sunny here no more than a few weeks ago. I imagine it started as a single snowflake. You know, somehow it was surviving in the heat of Tal'Dorei. It just, you know, it should have just evaporated into water and like been mist or, you know, whatever. But it would just stay there. And then slowly it kind of grew bigger and bigger and bigger. Then wind slowly started to wrap around it like it was drawing in energy. And then out of nowhere, just an explosion of energy happened. When you arrive, you don't see the portal, but you see four igloos laying out in front of you, and several yards behind that, it looks like ice spikes on the ground, and that ominous blue globe behind those ice spikes. What do you guys want to do?
I definitely saw this picture and was like, that looks like a weird fucking ice porcupine.
Yeah, I was like, it's like a hedgehog of ice.
Right, right.
Literally.
That's
same.
Actually not land. That's a big giant porcupine you guys are going to fight. And it's going to kill you all.
What's his name?
Bob.
That is a lame-ass name.
I think his name is Jeffrey.
Okay. I like that. I will be okay with Jeffrey. So what would you get?
Necro Jeffrey.
Necro Jeffrey.
So what would you guys like to do?
Let's go try and get inside of these frozen horseshoes because it's
what's
they literally look like fucking blue horseshoes just on the ground.
Those horseshoes are actually
igloos, right?
Those are igloos. Yes, they are about 4 feet high.
4 feet high igloos. Okay.
They're for children. They're igloos for children.
What have you guys been fighting a lot of?
Dolls, oh,
children, Faye. Dolls. No, Faye. They're probably.
Oh. Faye.
Huff puff. Freaking
$1
Faye.
Too many.
To the northeast, there is kind of like a little cave entrance. And, you know, you see the four igloos. As I said, they were about 4 feet high. But you also see a well-packed trail of large footprints that pass between them, heading both north and west.
Does there appear to be any other activity actively going on right now?
I think it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, but you don't see a lot of activity going on.
Okay.
I definitely think Pippa should
absolutely
sneak.
Yeah, I was just about to say I think Pippa's gonna do that sneaky sneak thing that she's so good at it and kind of scout around the igloos a little bit.
Okay.
Love it.
That was a 24 for stealth.
Okay, show me where she's what she's checking out first.
Okay,
show
so I think
what
that
you got.
Show me what you got. Yes. I think she's probably going to sneak around through the tree line to the south and kind of come up in between the two southernmost igloos. Kind of peer around. She see see anything while she's going through the trees?
She sees nothing. It's actually pretty quiet. The only thing you hear is the like rustling of wind that's coming in the direction of the west where the blue glow is at.
She's going to leave the tree line and kind of, I don't know, peer around the corner into the igloo that's closest to the group.
Okay.
Kind of do that like Kronk Emperor's New Groove inching along the wall.
That one?
Like, yep. Until she can
okay, so,
hear into
so
it.
You're wanting to look into the southernmost igloo.
Southeasternmost igloo.
Okay. Yes, when you peek around the corner, the interior of the igloo is bare. Several ice blocks extend from the igloo interior walls. They form small shelves and recesses, you know, kind of like places to like store like little trinkets and stuff. Like, you know, if you had a bedroom, you'd want places to put your glasses or whatever. However, what you do see on one of the blocks is a little fae sitting on one of those blocks, just kind of looking around. You rolled a very good stealth check, so it does not seem to notice you. And yeah, that's what you see.
Dustin, which way is it facing?
Right now, it's kind of facing out on the block, kind of looking out the door. I think it's like trying to watch for people that might just happen pass walk through the middle of all those igloos.
So I'm going to cast a ghost sound of something falling over on one of the shelves toward the back, and then a quiet, like, fuck.
Okay. So does it get a saving throw?
It does, yeah. It gets a disbelief save, will DC 13.
DC 13, okay. You see not one, but you see a second fae.
Where did the second fae come from? Because you said there was only one that I saw before.
So you're looking around the corner, so what you didn't see is there's a part of the curve that you could not see when you looked in. You could only see a certain percentage of this. So what happened is when you made that sound, the one fae that you did see walked towards it, and then the other fae that was kind of in the area you couldn't really see also made an appearance to go examine the object that it thinks made the sound. And you hear some mumbling back and forth, but unless you understand fae, you're not going to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, no, I super don't. I think what I'm going to do is I am going to sneak around the front of the igloo, and I'm going to use the sign language that we all developed to ask for just Abraxas.
Okay.
Right now, since he's the quietest.
All right, Abraxas is going to, or I am going to shift. That way, get some natural camo going, and I will stealth in. Oh, that's nice. That's a 27.
Roll me a perception on your way in, Abraxas.
25.
You see a little fae head pop out of the top of the igloo and look directly at you and then pop back down. You, being somebody who's grown up in an ice environment, would know that igloos kind of have a hole in the top for fire and smoke. So you realize that they flew up and saw what was going on.
Despite his stealth check?
Well, they didn't see him, but Abraxas saw the fae.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'll nose up.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that they didn't.
No, you guys rolled really good on your stealth.
Yeah, I think Manette and I should just live in these trees.
Yeah.
We're about as sneaky as the kitchen. Like, it's just no good in here.
You guys don't have the necro stealth?
No necro stealth. We got that sweet, sweet animated too loud.
Oh my god. I'm going to be using that at work all week.
Oh, that should be our we're going to be the too loud crew back here.
Too loud crew. I want that as a shirt now.
We call you guys in when we need the big guns. Literally.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Okay, so Pippa's going to kind of creep back up and, like, look around the corner of the igloo again to see if they've moved at all.
They're just sitting. They kind of went back to their locations, and now you see the other one being on that side of the igloo. It's on another little shelf, just kind of sitting there watching that. You actually really lucked out that they're not seeing you because they're looking out. So you must have, I don't know how you did it, but you rolled such a well stealth check, they didn't even notice you.
And now I'm imagining that Pippa's like covered herself with like snow and she's just kind of like laying flat on her belly, peering around the door.
Wearing a snow ghillie suit.
I was literally just thinking that.
Which reminds me, I need you all to roll me a fortitude save. Except for Odessa.
I was gonna say everybody, I'm sorry.
Didn't I cast Endure Elements on? I think I'm the only one. Oh no, me and Jess, we're the only ones that have to make them now.
Yep,
I cast it on Pippa.
Okay, so yeah. You guys roll your fortitude saves. It's nice. A DC
28.
Yeah, you passed that with no problem.
Dustin's like, DC, whatever.
26.
Okay, yeah, you guys are good.
I'm going to nose in this direction over here to Pippa. Like,
she nods, and she's going to get her crossbow out at this
time. Oh, by in that direction? I'm sorry. I point my wolfy nose towards the igloo to the east. Sorry, like in that direction. To the east, kind of like inquiring if we're going to check it out.
I don't know. I think we should probably try to take out the two fae and the igloo we already unearthed first. So she's just going to shake her head back at you and just kind of mime shooting the two fae that are already in here. I'd like to cast ghost sound on the back of the igloo again to see if they'll see if they'll go for it.
Okay, I'm going to say that the DC is now 16 because you're trying the same thing twice, basically. Wow. And I rolled a 2 and a 3. So
yeah!
They completely are like, what the hell is making that sound? And they both move to look at the item.
Okay.
And their backs are turned to you. Okay, Pippa, roll me a perception check.
Okay, that was a 25.
You look in and you see a brown rug that covers pretty much like the equivalent of a 5x5 square of the igloo. When you look, it kind of dips down a little bit, just slightly. That makes you think that there might be a trap.
Oh my gosh, it's a totally Scooby-Doo carpet over a pit trap.
Wow. Okay, then, I mean, is it possible to skirt around it?
Yes, you can skirt around the igloo. But I'm going to impose the squeeze mechanic. And what the squeeze mechanic means that you take a -4 penalty because you're just not able to move around as fully as if you were in an open area. So you can do that. But it is definitely going to be a challenge.
Okay, so what does that mean? Like, it just takes me longer to get there?
Just has to do with a -4 penalty to attack rolls and a -4 penalty to AC.
Oh.
Wow, okay.
That's... then they're basically really set up really well for defense in there.
So maybe not.
Yeah, I think this igloo is just really well fortified. I think if they didn't have a pit trap there, your original plan is really good.
Yep, but they do have a pit trap there.
And who knows what's in the other ones.
After a little while, the one fairy that disappeared, he goes back to his little ledge, and the other fairy actually pops or disappears. And it looks around like it doesn't see anything and then goes back down.
What if you guys checked out the other igloos?
Yeah, I was just about to say, yeah, let's go check out the other igloos.
Yeah.
So I think Abraxas and I are going to go, if it's amenable to Abraxas, we'll go check out the igloo that's a little more north.
When you guys look inside, you see a winter blanket, a pile of furs, and a small wooden chest take up most of the floor space in this cramped igloo. You see this, you know, kind of, because this igloo has nobody in it, you can kind of get a better look. You definitely see the hole cut at the top. And other than that, it looks like it's just kind of being used as a storage room.
She's a little leery since she saw the trap in the other igloo, so she's going to kind of eyeball it and see if there's any other, like, telltale signs of mischief. And that was a 19 perception.
It looks pretty much like a little storage closet.
Neat.
Did you say it was okay. a winter blanket in there?
Yes.
We should probably take that.
Definitely. But I'm thinking, like, maybe we should keep checking out the igloos. And then we'll raid everything after we're...
No, you're no, right. Take the, you're right.
We're
take
done.
The blanket.
Take the fucking blanket. Check it now.
Okay, where do you guys want to go?
Clockwise?
Yep. Go up to this one, Abraxas.
All right. Number north and north.
Boy. Heading up towards the other north.
Oh, one. Man. I've been nervous because I've been rolling well. And, okay, yeah, that's a 29, so still doing Woo. Good.
Okay, that's awesome. And I got a 22.
Okay.
I know the next one's going to be a crappy roll. Shoot.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
It's going to have, like, 8 dudes in it.
this igloo is kind of similar, only it's what you're noticing is these rooms are set up for people to come in. You know, imagine, like, if you went to a camp, any kind of camp, and you went into, like, probably a, a tent where there, you know, like the beds were provided and like a place to store your stuff. Like almost like they were getting ready to prepare for an invasion or something like that, you know?
Okay. Like they were. Okay. Sure.
Great. Oh, good. A staging area for invasions.
That's what I've always wanted.
All right. Should we check out the only remaining igloo?
Yep. Come on, Rainbow Dice. You've been serving me well. Keep it up.
Keep it.
Oh,
I'm not even going to make you roll because you guys have been rolling so well. It's actually okay. Just like the other two igloos.
Awesome. So it really is only those two little shits in there.
But what's in the cave?
Yeah, what is in the cave?
I'm really concerned about the cave. It is big and there's a lot of black there.
That's actually an excellent point.
It's also where you see the large footsteps going into and going out of.
What do the prints smell like? Do they smell like a human? Do they smell like trollish, ogreish, anything that I've run across before?
Roll me a knowledge nature. Actually, no. Roll me a survival.
That is a 16. I don't know how I got to 20s on that one. 16.
I will let you have one minor piece of information. Is there any specific question you want to ask?
Let's see. What is it?
You actually, you can confirm that it is definitely a large creature of some sort. It does look like it has giant-sized properties.
Okay, so kind of like a giant family.
Man.
Oh, gosh.
What color is it?
Oh, what color is this creature?
You do not pick that up from footprints in the snow.
I'll let Pippa know that I'm not happy, and I'll let my ears droop as I'm sniffing around. I'm like...
You definitely smell... I am going to let you bring your scent into this. You definitely do smell kind of a barkish kind of smell.
That doesn't sound great.
Tree?
Maybe it's another giant tree.
Like evil trees.
Oh, crap.
I was just going to say that. What do the footprints look like since they're in the snow? Do they look like feet? Or do they look like shoes? Or do they look like some weird fucking tree root motherfucker?
They look like humanoid feet.
Humanoid.
Wearing
it's a tree wearing shoes.
Oh, but here's the thing. Is it like it's wearing snowshoes? Or is it deep in the snow? Or does it look like it has some sort of ability to not sink that far into the snow?
It does not have the ability to bypass the snow. It is definitely a trudging look in the snow.
Noob sauce. I'm going to nose towards Odessa and Manette.
Yep. Pippa's gonna nod and follow him. But she's also going to kind of, I guess, gesture at the igloo and sign to Abraxas, like, should we take those out first?
We might as well draw them out.
Yeah, because I'd like to get the surprise attack on whatever is in the cave, if possible.
Flash bang and Hank the Clank. Literally, my character's name should be Hank the Clank.
All right.
It's fine. Manette and I are just back here chilling, hanging out, you know, smoking a cigarette. Just
It's chill.
Fantasy pipes.
All right,
Odessa can't drink anymore. She's taken to Tabasco.
Tabasco.
No, she is actually just like fucking chugging hot sauce. That's what life has become.
All right, I guess I'll turn back into people form. And before I walk, because I'll silently cast produce flame. So I'm going to keep like a little flame in my hand.
Nice.
Before I walk over. Or stealth over.
Okay.
I'll take number two. You take number one?
It's a plan.
Okay.
Roll me initiative, guys.
Did they know we're here?
Well, no. I'm just getting initiative ready because if you make a surprise attack, then it goes in order. Manette, what did you get?
8.
Wow. Fantastic.
My initiative always fucking bullshit.
Damn.
Odessa?
19.
Pippa?
That was a 13.
Abraxas?
It's actually 20. I thought it was 19, but it's 20.
Because you're in cold?
Because we're in cold and icy terrain.
Abraxas and Pippa, what are you going to do?
All right, so I have number two.
I think you've got number one because you've got eyes on it.
When you guys peek around the corner, they are not there.
Well, within 30 feet, I could smell them. Are they in there?
You definitely smell them.
All right, then as a move action, the hand that's not alight with fire, I'm going to pull out my wand of fairy fire. And then as my standard action, I'm going to blast it in there, a little burst. It should fill up the whole room. Glow, you little shits.
So what does fairy fire do exactly?
All right, so it's an area of effects. A pale glow surrounds and outlines the subjects. They shed light like candles. Creatures outlined by fairy fire take a negative 20 on stealth checks, and they do not benefit from concealment provided by darkness, blur, displacement, invisibility, or similar effects.
Just beautiful.
Damn, negative 20.
That's amazing.
You don't see anything in there.
Huh.
Oh my god, did they fly out the top?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm assuming they flew out the top. Which, why would they do that if we were successfully stealthing up there?
Because maybe somebody failed their stealth check or someone got a really good perception check at some point and didn't make it known that they saw that they're enemies.
Okay. I thought you said we were rolling so well on stealth checks you weren't gonna ask us to stealth up there anymore.
Yeah, this was when there was a time I asked you to roll a stealth check and one of you did not roll good enough. But they chose not to attack, so you guys didn't know.
Well, I can, if you want, we can do just one move action to slowly get there, and I could use my other move action to pinpoint where they are. Because if they're within 30 feet, I can detect them.
You smell them. They're around there somewhere.
So I can get in their direction.
So I'm going to say that you smell them. You definitely smell them. It's still in the igloo.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
So they're not invisible. Are they just hiding under something?
Oh, my God. What if they're in the pit?
Oh, that's smart. That is the best way to hide from freaking magical detection is old school hiding is like the best way.
I love it. That's awesome.
Okay. I'm going to toss one of my little flame at the carpet, rug, tarp, what have you?
Yeah.
I'm just going to toss it on the covering.
Okay. The moment that the rug starts to burn away, I need you both to roll me a will save.
It's 22.
Okay.
18.
So what happens is the fire burns away, and then suddenly aimed at both of you, two rainbow beams just shoot right towards you, but you guys both just get out of the way. It just misses you. And behind you, the snow has turned into rainbow as it gets coated with color.
That spell is called Care Bear Stare.
Yeah, that thing is
Care Bear Stare.
That's like the last thing you want to get hit with.
Pippa actually knows that spell well.
Yes, oh, yes, yeah. Pippa's intimately familiar with the Care Bear Stare. It sounds pretty and it's just terrible.
Odessa, you guys, you're sitting there watching Pippa and Abraxas, and all of a sudden you see between the two of them these rainbow-like beams just shoot out past them.
I can essentially get right behind Pippa.
Okay.
And then that's going to essentially be all I can do because I still can't see into the igloo, but at least I'm, like, there.
Pippa, it's your turn.
Do I have eyes on fairy number two?
You see them both. They're sitting in the pit. And they're just kind of chilling out there. They just fired two beams out of them. And the fact that they both missed, they kind of gave this look of like, oh, shit.
Okay. Then she's going to go ahead and fire her crossbow at fairy number two with cold iron bolts.
Go for it.
19. So that is a critical threat, my friend.
Wow. You and your rolling. Roll to confirm.
Her rage is just really feeling this right now. 7, so super doesn't
confirm. No confirm Pippa, that's what I call her.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no confirm dear. Pippa.
Okay.
That's her name.
Roll damage.
Okay. Oh my god. 1 point of damage. Woo! So good. This is going so well.
So when you hit with your arrow, it strikes true. But it strikes true in a very non-lethal area, so it just really hurt. It is Fae number one's turn. Having used its color spray, it sits there and it tries to evaluate its options, and it shoots out from the top, and it fires down on Pippa. Does a 21 hit?
Oh, God. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. It's
darn it.
Pippa, I need you to roll me a fortitude save.
Oh, crap. That's not good. That does not look pleasant.
I quit this game.
Says the person who just rolled a critical hit.
No, who couldn't confirm a critical hit then only did 1 point of damage. Oh my god, yeah, that would be a 6 on my fortitude save.
So when it hits you, it feels like that, you know, it feels almost like nothing. Like it's just this little icicle that basically goes into you. But what it does do is it makes you kind of feel a little woozy and you're staggered for the next round.
Okay.
And Minette, you were up. You just saw Pippa get hit by a little fae that popped out of the roof, Minette. And now she's kind of like little rocking and a little like queasy looking.
If she was shaken, I could do something about it. Instead, I guess I'm gonna get as close as I can. Do we all have some of the alchemist fire?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna get within range for that and give it a toss at the igloo.
Are you gonna try to play basketball and get it in the...
Yeah, you know what? I am.
Okay. So roll me an attack, a ranged attack. All right.
Slam. Welcome to the jam. Oh, that's a natural 19.
Oh, wow. So yes, it goes in and it floats right past the one that has popped out and it hits the ground and flourishes up and hits the one below it. Roll me damage.
Woo!
That's 4.
It looks like it has taken some serious damage, y'all.
Did it melt the igloo at all?
Not really. Igloos are pretty solidly built, so...
Yeah.
Berry number one, who actually just took the damage, pops up, and then you see it kind of fly behind the igloo and roll around in the snow to try to get the fire out. And I'm going to say it extinguishes the fire. These guys, unlike Rokar, has learned about stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, Rokar's education.
Good old Rokar.
I'm on fire. What do I do? Keep attacking.
Abraxas, you're up.
One of them has flown off, right?
Yep. So you see the one fairy above... flying above the igloo, and then there's nothing inside the igloo except for that pit.
I'm gonna throw my fire at the one that's flying above.
Okay, roll me an attack.
Oh, that's crap. No, that's 10. Even for range touch, that's not gonna do it, huh?
It is not gonna do it. In fact, it flies right over, but I'm gonna tell you something, Abraxas. Roll me a percentage die.
Darn it, I was rolling so well. Oh, 91.
It actually flies over the igloo in the process of trying to hit it, and it lands on the other side and hits the one rolling around in the snow.
Oh, whoa. Yes.
Woo.
I just think that's hilarious. I could see you like totally like airballing the basketball and you just fly. But an alchemist fire has to go somewhere. And normally I would sit there wherever it hit if it took splash damage. But you rolled a 91. If you had rolled anything below a 90, it wouldn't have come near you. So roll damage.
Wow. My God.
Oh, sweet. So this wasn't my alchemist fire. This is a produced flame. I can toss it.
Okay.
That's going to be... 4 points of damage.
You just hear this, and it just dies.
Oh, man, it did go, ow!
That was similar.
No, it was, erg.
Just pitch that down and add some growl to it, and it's about the same.
Yeah. And sweet. He has died. There's only one remaining. Odessa, you're up. You see a fairy flying above the thing.
So is it still within my line of sight?
It is totally within your line of sight.
Okay, then she is going to take a shot at it with a paper cartridge.
Okay.
That is a 20.
Wow. Yeah, that hits. Follow me.
Some sweet, sweet damage. That is a 9. Yeah, it's the scatter effect is still on my gun. I haven't actually taken that off yet. So it's a scatter 9, if that changes anything.
It looks pretty hurt. It definitely took a lot of little PBs, but it is still up.
Well, shit.
Pippa, it is your turn.
Can she still see the critter?
Yeah.
The remaining
critter?
Yeah,
it's up above.
Well, I can't do anything except pretty much reload my crossbow, so...
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Okay, Minette, what are you gonna do with this little creature that's flying in the air where your sword can't reach?
He's not in the igloo anymore?
No, he flew out above.
Damn it, I was gonna try and do another Kobe.
You can still hit him.
It took me a really long time to realize that was a basketball reference.
I'm speaking to the wrong crowd, huh? I do have a crossbow, but I would kind of have to take it out and put all my other shit away, and I just hate doing that. How high up is he?
I would say he's probably 10 feet up.
Oh, wait, 10 feet above the igloo? No,
the igloo's only 4 feet high.
So he would be like 6 feet above the igloo.
Correct.
So what I'm hearing is that if Minette climbed on top of the igloo, she could fucking hit him.
That's true. She could, but I don't know if she would be able to have that movement. Well, roll
She's
me
pretty
a
damn close.
Roll me a climb. Sure. Let's make it fun.
Oh, that's not a good one for me.
Oh my god.
That's a very bad one for me, actually. So I gotta get high. Natural 20. I'm not fucking with you. But I have a minus 4 to climb.
So you get this. You get this. Like, I'm gonna do this, and you just go and you just dig your hands into it. And maybe it's because of the alchemist fire actually loosens some of the blocks, the like ice cement that keeps the blocks. But they like moved forward a little bit as you're going, and you climb handholds and you get up there above it. And so, do you attack?
Oh my god, I thought you were going to say that I like fell through in. It into that too. Pit in there.
I wouldn't do that to you with a 20.
Oh man, oh, I was about to start crying. Okay, I mean, I'm gonna attack him.
Okay.
That's a 14.
Yeah, you swish. Roll me a percentage die.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, okay.
59.
Okay, you're okay. Damn.
He wanted to roll the percentage of you falling in that fucking hole, didn't
he? Yeah.
Minette, you see the fairy, see that it just took you swipe up, and it does this like curve up in the air and slams into you. Let's see if
of course it does. Die against my armor. That's what...
Let's hit the start it.
That was a really creepy noise you just made.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was. That's the scariest laugh you've ever done.
So the fairy does like a curve up and around, and he bull rushes you. Does a 19 beat your CMD?
Yes.
Well, first you get an attack of opportunity, so let's do that first.
Bat it out of the air.
About
heck
to
yeah.
Say, I'm going to fucking slice this asshole right in half. 22.
Roll me damage.
Just fucking slice him in half like he's a cantaloupe.
Okay, that's 8 damage.
He's dead, isn't he?
He goes and he does this really...
That is the face of Dustin being mad.
He does this really cool maneuver where he goes up and he circles over your head kind of like a plane doing a loop-de-loop and comes down and it's just like... full force, you just killed his friend, he's gonna get revenge, and you just hold your sword up, and he just runs into it and slices in half and just falls down at the bottom.
Oh, I really did clothesline him, like, with my sword.
Nice, prophecy fulfilled.
I love it. I'm so glad I convinced you to climb on top of that igloo.
Yes,
Manette
me
has
too.
Unlocked the clothesline achievement.
That is
and
amazing.
I immediately want to get off of this igloo because I do not feel stable.
Roll me a percentage dice as you get off.
Oh, fuck.
God.
88.
You're good. So you.
That was so cool.
Uh-huh.
Like, what a cool idea.
It's almost worthy of thank like, you, a Kay. Hero point.
Kay, I'm going to give you a hero point for coming up with that creative idea.
Yes.
That maxes you out, doesn't it?
No. Because I used one. I'm the only one who's used one.
No,
I used 2, girl. Used I got 1 left. I maxed out. And I'm
oh, okay.
One.
Well, there we go. So
use those hero points.
I'm saving now it for Baba Yaga. No, I'm going to use it way before then.
You guys have eliminated the nasty fae folk. What would you like to do?
I want to know what's in the cave.
Now that the gun's gone off, I'm like at high alert and would like to look around to see if we've alerted anything ginormous.
There is nothing's coming.
I don't know. Do we want to sneak up to that cave and take a little peekaboo, peeksy peek?
Yeah, man.
Inside?
Let's do it.
Are we all going to sneak up there, or just Abraxas, or just
I
Pippa?
Mean, like, I don't know, kitchen cabinet and, like, loud bang bang. Do you guys want us up there?
Yeah, maybe you guys should, like, stay in, like, the northernmost igloo, like behind it or inside it or something, and Abraxas and I can go peeksy peek.
Manette and I are gonna go hide in, well, here, we'll pick this, the northernmost igloo.
Roll me a stealth there, Pippa.
Oh, my bad, I missed that too.
20. Oh. I mean, is it though? Because you said that before.
The trust is waning.
The trust is broken.
Hey, just because somebody perceives you doesn't mean that they have to reveal themselves right away.
I guess.
No, I mean, that's fair. I'm just mad about it.
Roll me a perception, too.
Thank God, it's fucking awful. That'll be a 12 on perception there, Stan.
Oh, my God.
You look into the cave, and it looks like nobody's in there right now.
I'm sure it does.
I rolled a 26 perception and a 28 stealth, just in case you needed to know that.
Pippa took care of most everything, so. When you guys look inside, you see two bearskin rugs cover most of the damp floor in this cave. Surrounding the cave, you see crates, barrels, and other supplies. The ceiling rises about 15 feet overhead. There are some icicles at the top of there. Causing, what is it, stalactites? Stalagmites come from the bottom, stalactites come from the top. So, stalactites, so frozen icicle stalactites just hanging down and kind of dripping. There seems to be a stockpile of standard supplies. You kind of just see boxes, one that says, like, food, and one says standard gear.
Porn.
Yeah, one says porn, exactly.
Porn. Every tree's got needs.
There looks to be enough boxes in this room to last weeks, if not longer. You also see a chest in this room.
Manette and Kay are in the igloo, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Pippa, I guess, walks back and just says, seems empty.
All right, Odessa has been rifling around in here and wanted to open this chest. Was there anything in there?
It's empty. It's like where somebody's going to store their stuff if they were living in there, kind of chest.
I mean, fair. She's just nosy and wanted to make sure.
Yeah. No, okay. It's good to be thorough.
Do we all gonna want to have a poke around the cave? Yeah. Open that chest.
I call dibs on the rugs.
The chest is locked.
You know what I have?
Do you have lock picking?
I have utility, which means I can shoot it the fuck open. I can finally use
it. I think
this.
I'm gonna stay out of here if you're doing that.
All right, so
Kate, I mean, if you wanna waste a bullet on shooting up at the chest,
care.
Go for it. But
okay. They are kind of expensive, so if you would like to, bless you.
Let's let Pippa try to open it by thievery first.
All right.
Natty 20. Give me that chest.
You go and stick the lockpick in, and like everybody's watching, they don't even see move it. You just stick the lockpick and can go, it's open, and it just opens up. You guys ready to find out what's inside of there?
Yes, please.
You find an iron coffer containing 4 potions. You see 4 blue quartz ice diamonds, a silver diadem, a flawless diamond, a jeweled necklace, an interesting looking painting, 3 sapphire.
Can you explain the interesting looking painting?
Go back.
Could someone roll me knowledge nobles?
That is going to be Pippa.
That's Pippa's job. She probably doesn't know this particular noble because that would be 7.
I can roll that as well. That's a class skill for me.
Go for it.
15.
You got right on the nose what you needed to get. That is a picture of White Throne. And you know that as your study of nobles. It's actually kind of weird that you know it. This would be something Pippa would normally own. Maybe there was something Pippa was saying about, like, I remember my mom talking about something like this when she was in Iris. And you basically, this is something between some Pippa saying that and you saying, you know, you looking at the conversations with your Varisian family. White Throne is the home of Jadwiga, the descendants of the witch Baba Yaga. White Throne is a playground for evil nobles. The witch queen Elvana family, they like going there during the holidays, so to speak. They go there and they have fun and they, you know,
kill
I don't know.
People eat them. I don't know.
Throw snowballs at each other.
That's very wholesome. Yes. Does the painting detect evil?
The painting does not detect evil. And actually, if you want to just give me, I think Pippa can do this, a knowledge of praise. I'll just tell you what everything's worth as I go down the way.
I can't roll after actually opening the chest. That was a natty 1.
Okay.
So
yeah, you know that this stuff is valuable. You know that painting is valuable. You just don't know how valuable it is. You find 3 sapphire rings. You find a decorative filigree longsword scabbard. You find a small scrimshaw sculpture of dancing sprites surrounding a piping satyr. And then for the big stuff, you find 2,457 gold, 2,313 silver pieces, and 1,760 copper pieces.
Jeez.
Damn. That's, wow.
Hells yeah.
Just dump that whole chest into a bag of holding and leave.
Yep. Flush with cash.
Can anyone detect magic?
I can.
But yeah, we should try and detect magic on this stuff to see if I need to do spellcraft checks on anything.
There is no magic.
Okay. Did we do a really thorough?
Yeah, she rolled a really good perception. It's clear.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, is there any other items of interest or value in it, or was it
all
in
the chest? I would have told you. I mean,
should we move the bearskin rugs around just to make sure there's no fucking doors underneath them?
Pippa's perception would have picked that up. There's nothing there.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think we kind of killed the two fae. I guess we have two options here that I see. I think we can either rest and get everything back by in this comfy seeming cave, or we can just say F it and push through that portal. Not knowing what's on the other side, but that might be more in line with like what our characters would actually
Abraxas, do. You notice the tracks are not all that old. Like, this is a fairly...
That was the next thing I was going to do, is I want to track down where that thing is. I want to know where that creature is, though. It's going to do us no good to rest here with one threat.
Yeah. If they're going to be coming back anytime soon, I would really rather be not here.
Off to Jeffrey.
To Jeffrey. Or to track, like Abraxas, you say these tracks are recent?
Yeah, they're relatively fresh. I'd like to at least get a zero in on this creature's location.
So what you're telling me is we could get away from this creature maybe by jumping through the scary portal in Jeffrey, or we could hunt down the scary thing and then possibly get killed by hunting it down. That's what I'm hearing.
The way I see it is that if we don't kill that thing, it's going to attack the people that we're here to protect.
Listen, a ship's safe in harbor, but that's not what ships are for.
So, and to be honest, I'm in no hurry to jump in the portal.
Why not?
That looks just terrifying.
You guys actually don't know that you have to jump in the portal either, because for all you know, there could be an off switch right outside the door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true enough, for all we know.
Let's at least
investigate that first, then?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go take a peeky peek at that, then.
Okay, so you guys start heading towards the portal?
Yes.
Yeah.
As you approach, you see a bank of quillite spears outward in a ring, seemingly grown from heavy sheet of ice covering the ground. A second ring of giant icicle-shaped monolites stand inside the outer ring, surrounding a swirling cylindrical vortex easily 10 feet in diameter.
Oh.
Icy winds and driving snow blast from the vortex, creating a wintry weather in the clearing. Standing in front to the left of the vortex is a large black tree. From the looks of it, it took the brunt of the icy vortex blast.
Is it alive?
It just looks like a tree.
Are the tracks leading up to this area? Like, leading up to the tree?
The tracks are leading into the portal.
Okay.
Does the tree detect evil?
You detect a chaotic evil glow amongst him. And at the same time, I'm guessing Braxis is up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
You smell the scent of that same barkish, mossy smell that you smelt in the cave.
Oh, bitch. It's a thing. I totally sign for, like, danger at the tree.
And as you guys are looking at it, you see it start to unfurl. And the moss moves around the body, and the limbs start to form, erupt, and come up around the creature's head and form a crown. The trunk of the tree splits in two, and slowly they reshape into that of a foot. And it turns and looks at Odessa and roars.
Odessa roars back.
The Fantastic Worlds podcast is a Fantastic Pods for production. I would like to thank Amy Hankinson for writing their wonderful theme song, Sirenscape for the use of their sound effects and music, Paizo for the wonderful Reign of Winter adventure path, and all of you listeners. Until next week, I am Dustin Alexander. You can reach me at Dustin Alexander.
I'm Abby. You can find me on Twitter at Bonanza Famine.
I'm Angel. You can reach me at Twitter at Espinoza916. That's Espinoza916.
It's fine. I didn't want to know what happened anyway. I have Chinese food. This is Kay, and you can reach me at She's Lady Macbeth.
Happy Halloween. I'm Jess, and you can reach me at Hank the Clank, which is appropriate because it was a book about a ghost.
Nice.
Please, if you have not yet, remember to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and tell your friends about us and share on social media. If you do share, use the hashtag Worlds Traveler. If you do share, use the hashtag Worlds Traveler so we can thank you for spreading the word. And it does make a huge difference. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, I hope you have many fantastic adventures.
Are you guys hearing like a kind of sound distortion?
Yeah, I heard something kind of funky. That's why I got really
also
quiet.
Her same. Picture looked like her eye was like, Kay's eye was like grown over. It was very unsettling. Happy fucking Halloween.
Yeah, that was really fucking disturbing.
Everything's spoiler alert, fine I'm now, actually though. A poltergeist that's been playing this long. So.
Holy crap.
I'm not going to lie, Kay. That would delight me. If that were true.
You guys get to the address in Portland. It's like an all dilapidated like house. They're like, this building's been condemned for over 50 years.
Oh, shit.
How did that ghost know about internet? Who's their cable subscriber?
Think of Samantha in The Ring. She knew. She knew what was up. She was up on her technology.
Seriously, though, guys.
God, our...
I'm going to say you can squirt, but you're going to have the squeezing mechanic.
Squirt.
Oh, my God. I was holding it together until y'all started laughing.
I said wow. Skirt, guys.
You did not.
You said squirt. You 100%.
I think on the episodes when I say we really need to stay on the rails, seems to be the episode we go off the rails the most.
We can't help it.
You said squirt.
Squirt.
You can't say squirt in
we're
a
like halfway to being a porno now.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me rephrase this one more time. We all good?
Forbidden words list. Squirt.
That's the second word I was going to think was like moist. There's a moist boy. Carpet a that's suspicious.
Uranus. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, squirt.
So...